Good evening, everybody. This Shabbos, Bez Hashem, read Parshas Noach. And, of course, there's a lot of dramatic action in Parshas Noach, but I'd like to focus on the words in a pasuk, which by themselves are perhaps not that exciting and not that important, but the use of these words teaches us a very important lesson, the lesson of using clean or refined or dignified language as opposed to vulgar or coarse language. The Torah says in Perek Zayin, a voracious pasuk ches, it's the first of the sources. The pasuk says, "Mina behema ha-tahoro, mina behema she'enena tahoro, mina of v'chala she'romis ha-la'adama," referring to behema tahora, pure or kosher animals, and non-kosher animals. Shnayim shnayim, a pasuk test, two of each came, bo and loach, elateva chutzorcha nekeva, kasher tziva kimis noach, two of each came to Noach, just as Hashem had commanded. So the Gemara in Pesachim, Dav Gimel Aleph, remarks that it's unusual because the Torah we would expect that Pasuk Ches to say Mina Behema Tahora, the kosher or pure, quote unquote, pure animals, Mina Behema Tamea. The other animals are Tamea animals, animals are not kosher. But it says animals are kosher and animals are not kosher. Mina Behema Asher Enena Tahora instead of Behema Tamea. So the Gemara says in Pesachim Dav Gimel Aleph, source number two, the Amr Shuvin Levi, La'olam Al Yotzi Adam Dover Maguna Mepiv. A person should be careful not to let any word that is coarse or undignified, unrefined, come out of his mouth. Because the Torah here, quote-unquote, used up or wasted, quote-unquote, eight letters, rather than say something in a negative or coarse fashion. Our pasuk, min abahema tahora, or min abahema she'enena tahora. This pasuk, right, it says behema Torah instead of behema tmeir. And if you do the math, as Rashi points out in Source 3, Gimel Aleph, there in Pesachim, Yashen and Torah, v'lo ksiv ha behema ha tmeir ki urche, and it doesn't say behema tmeir, which is the ordinary expression, like the usual expression, hari shmona osi is ikem, way Torah, quote unquote, which doesn't waste any words, wasted, and any letters even, every word, every letter, you know, the Torah has a significant meaning. So if it would have said tmeir, that would have saved us a bunch of letters. In other words, it would have saved us eight letters, because hatameya chamesh osiyosein. Rashi says the word hatameya has five letters. Asher enena tahora, if you add them all up, asher enena tahora, shloshah says 13 letters. So the Torah used an expression which required 13 letters rather than an expression which required five letters, when the Torah is usually as brief as possible. He used eight extra letters. I'm sorry, before I get to that. So that teaches us that, okay, it's nice to be brief, but if you can say something in a less coarse or more refined fashion, that's better. So therefore it says asher enena tahora. And Rashi says, "V'afagav d'raisa ksiv tamei." After all, the Torah sometimes does use the word tamei. But shani orcha b'chad duftar l'amercha lachzar loshan nekiya. Even though Rashi says the Torah, and the Gemara will say in a moment, even though the Torah sometimes does use the word tamei, it doesn't always say not tahor. Okay, it does use the briefer expression, and even though it's more coarse, less refined, but still. This one time, it says it differently to teach us that we should look to use what's called lashon nekiya, clean or refined language. Then the Gemara goes on, it goes back to two. Okay, the Gemara there in Pesachim Gimel and Aleph goes on. It says, "Rapapa Amar," in the second line, "Teisha Shenemar Kiev Chaisha Shaloyeh Tahar Mikrei Laya." That's a pasuk later on in the Chumash. I printed it in Source 4. Pasuk in Parshas Kiseitze Dvarim Perakav Gimel Pasuk Yud Aleph Kiev Chaisha Shaloyeh Tahar Mikrei Laya. Okay, talking about a person who's not tar because of a seminal discharge in a relation with his wife or whatever. And again, it says a shalo yet tar. So again, it ends up that it's also, the Gemara says, really it uses nine extra letters in that instance, right? And Ravina Omar Esa comes out 10 because the word tar, even though it's could be spelled tes hey resh, it says tar tes hey vav resh, 10 letters, fine. Okay, and Rav Acha Bar Yaakov quotes a different pasuk, a pasuk in Navi, where it says Rav Yaakov Omar Sheshesrei 16 Shenemar Ki Omar Mikrehu Bilti Tahor Kilo Tahor. That's a pasuk in Shmuel Aleph Perkov, source number 5. Actually, it's in the Haftarah from last Shabbos, because last Shabbos Parshas Bereishis was Shabbos Mevarchin, and it was Erev Rosh Chodesh, and on Erev Rosh Chodesh, when we have Rosh Chodesh is a Sunday. Or in this case, it was Sunday, Monday. So we read a special haftarah, the haftarah of Machar Chodesh, and that was laid last Shabbos. So there it tells a story with David and Yonah's son. Anyway, the Torah says they came to the meal on Rosh Chodesh, and Shaul noticed that David wasn't there, but the friend didn't say anything because he thought he didn't come because he was tummy. Right? The Pasuk says there in 5, Shmuel Alf Per Kof, Pasuk Kof Hei, Vayeshua Melech HaMoshav Kefam HaFam HaMoshav HaKir, Vayachim HaRosam Vayeshua Adem Itzad Shol, Vayipokeid Mechom David, all the people were sitting in their usual seats at the table of Shol HaMelech, except David's place was empty. But Chava V'lo Diber Shol Mo'omei HaMoshav, Shol didn't say anything. Ki Amar Mikre Hu Bilti Tor, Kilo Tor, right? He said he's not Tor, it must be because he's Tomei, he's ritually impure, it's not proper to come to the king's table in that fashion, and that's why he didn't come. Then the lady found that, he realized it was for a different reason, and the whole story unfolds. But in any event, there too you have all, it says, Mikre who bilti tar who kilo tar. Okay, again, he uses all these words when he could have said Tomei, so he uses 16 extra letters. Anyway, what emerges from all of this is that the Torah, in at least two places, and the Navi in one place, uses an expression which is less concise, less direct, okay, but it's a more refined or a cleaner type of language to teach us that we should be careful when we speak not to use what we would call vulgar or coarse language. Now, that was on Gimel Aleph in Pesachim. On Gimel Beis in Pesachim, the Gemara asks in 6, with Araisa Milo Ksiv Tomei, but doesn't the Torah sometimes use the word Tomei and Tomeya and Tuma? I mean, it does sometimes use it, right? So more says, Ela kol heichad ichad dod in the mishtai beloshen akia. Kal heichad in the fishim mila mishtai beloshen kitzara. Basically, what the Gemara is saying is, but there is also value to loshen kitzara, to saying things briefly. Okay, so chiyadodin, it was Rashi in 7, she'ain arach b'loshon tzach b'nei maguna, mishtai b'loshon kovet. If it's all the same in terms of the words, okay, so then the Torah will usually use the, it will use the more honorable loshon kovet, the more dignified, language. But if the, if it's a briefer, more concise to use the less dignified language, the Torah will generally do that. Okay, because the Amar of Hun Amar Rav back in 6, Amar Amar Hun Amar Rav Mishum Rebeir La'olim Mishana Adam Tamido Derech Kitzara. When you're teaching something, you should always teach something in a concise way. Okay, you look at Rashi. Rashi is Vohech etc. Vahani de El Ike. So why in other words, what the Gemara is saying is when all else is equal, Taka will use the more refined, more dignified the Lashon Nekiyah. That's when everything else is equal, but if the Lashon, which is not so Nakia, is briefer, is more concise, then the Torah will generally opt for that. However, as Rashi says, second Rashi in 7, but the psukim that we quoted above, to teach us that there's a value to Lashon Naki, you know, it's once or in a couple of places, the Torah breaks the rule and will use the more dignified language, even though that's longer, okay, to show there is such a value of Lashon Naki. But Rav Sharma Kalmas Ksiv Lashon Maguna Vakatsu. But other places, the Torah will use the language which is more coarse, but it's briefer. Lamercha Shishana Adon Tamir Lashon Kitzar. To teach, it's always good to use briefer language. Why is that? Rav said, Lefish Miskaimas Gishali Yosem and Arucha. Because people remember things better. Let's remember you're teaching somebody a lesson. Any teacher knows if you can teach something in a way that's brief and the students can remember it, it's much easier than something which is lengthy and involved. Right? It's easier to remember something which is brief. You create some kind of a mnemonic or some kind of other memory tool, right? And you say things in a way that people can remember it more easily. So the Torah tries to keep things brief. Let's remember that things weren't written down. Everything was learned bal peh and so on. And even when things aren't bal peh, it's always better to teach something. It's easier for students to retain information if it's presented in a brief fashion than if it's something which is much more long-winded. Okay. Now, the Tosus there on Gimel Beis points out, 8, Kelhecha de Chiyadodi, Hilcha ulechach, Ikem akosol and denisho, Olam yisapar arashon akia, Yimloya okem imkein mehecha teisa, filahecha de Chiyadodi, you know. Tosus points out the reason that the Torah, at least in some minimal number of places, or Navi or whatever, somewhere, a few places, had to break the rule and use refined language even when it was lengthier than the other language, is to teach us that Lashon Nekiyah, using clean, refined language, is in fact a value. Because if it wouldn't have done that, then I would never know that there's any value to that. I would think the only value is to keep it brief, right, to speak concisely. So therefore, in a couple of places, the Torah uses a lengthier expression to teach us that using more refined language is a value. Using a brief, concise language is also a value. They're both values. So therefore, the Torah will usually opt for the more concise language. But if all else is equal, then the brief language has nothing to gain, so to speak, or doesn't give you anything. So therefore, you should use the cleaner language. And the Rishonim discusses, I don't want to spend that much time. I printed a number of Rishonim who deal with this unusual Gemara. This is all Gemara based on a Psukim here in Parshas Noach. Instead of saying Tomei, say Lotar. So the Chiddush Aran, basically, it elaborates on that point. The way Tosa says the Ran is on the Chiddush Aran, Gimel Beis Pesachim, right? He says that these couple of places the Torah wants to teach us this lesson of Lashon Kavod, using a refined or dignified language, okay? Because if it wouldn't, then we would never know that it's even a value, okay? But ordinarily, fine. Now the question is, the Ran is, why do you need it in two places? Because why do you have the two psukim in the Torah? Right, you have one pasuk here in Parshas Noach and one pasuk back in Source 4 in Kisetse. Yeah, what if that teacher in two places? Once you taught me the lesson, you taught me the lesson. So he says, nearly the Torah too, you need both. The Imi Dechsibin of Ahem Hashem and the Torah, if we only had the lesson from our pasuk here in Parshas Noach, Ha'minah Shalom Ikeim Hachid El Chazal Shon Kovat Alev Yodayin Lo Nitmul of Nei Noach. Let's remember, what do you mean kosher animals and non-kosher animals? What, there's no laws of kashrus. How do we know what animals tummy, what animals do we know? We know. They took seven kosher animals and two non-kosher animals. What kosher? Who? How do we know? We've never been presented with those rules before. And indeed, to Bnei Noach, none of those rules apply. Okay. So we don't really have a specific definition of what is tummy. So it'll say tar and not tar, right? That's how I might have thought. All right, so therefore, I would not necessarily have learned the lesson because these are not tummy for Bnei Noah, right? There's no din of tuma, right? So everything's acceptable. So they use a different expression. The other pasuk, I would have thought, yeah, because that pasuk you should over there, you want to use cleaner language because you're talking about a person. The pasuk in Parshas Kisetz, it's more a person who became tummy. So there, we won't describe a person using a more vulgar term. But with animals, what's the difference? Animals' feelings are going to be hurt. If I'm describing an animal, so what's the difference? Would I use a more coarse expression or a more refined expression talking about the characteristic of the animal? What's the difference, right? When it comes to human beings, I understand, but maybe by animals not. So that's why you need both of these interpretations. The Baal Amor in Pesachim Daf Aleph, from an Aleph on the page of the Rif, in source number 10. And also, again, as a different interpretation, they're all struggling with why the Torah had to do it in this fashion, okay? Why these particular psukim, the Torah, that were selected by the Torah. So the Baal Amor has a point, is that you can understand when the Torah is telling us, okay, about the laws of Tumah and Tara, so then I understand why the Torah used the word Tumah. Right, you look on the fourth line of 10. Avu parshas hamabul shalopa kosul lahazim in atuma. It's not teaching us any laws about tuma; it's just telling us which species have seven and so on. So then you can use the other expression. In other words, he says in each case is a different lesson, so to speak, to be learned from this particular pasuk. The Marashah in the Chiddush Halachas in Pesachim and Gimel Beis says something similar. Okay, we're trying to make something clear. We're teaching a lesson. We're teaching a halacha. Okay, as opposed to when you're just reporting something. So again, all these mepharshim try to come up with a different reason why these particular cases are different.
Rabbi Tavis?
Yeah, yes.
Why can't you say you're applying the lesson on the second time?
Say it again?
Why?
Yeah, once you have it once, you could say, yeah, okay, I hear.
Now I'm doing what I said. I'm applying the lesson.
Yeah, okay. Okay, that's interesting. Again, but why in other cases not? Yeah. That they're all kind of struggling with this. I mean, I understand you want to teach me the lesson. Yeah, you could say it a second time just to emphasize it and show that I'm, but it's not the very next time. I mean, that's the problem. You have to figure out why these particular times. But again, that's what the Farshim is struggling a little bit with there, and that an Argamor and Pesachim over here. Okay. The other reasons also. Okay. The Marsha in the Chiddush HaGadol in Pesachim and Gimel and Aleph. Says, again on the word behemoth or tahora, he says that there are different drushes. You want to learn also about not speaking not nicely about even about animals as opposed to you and only about human beings. He brings up some different, different ideas. And again, you can make a distinction in Pnei Yoshua in 13 on Rashi, Damascus Kol Hecha, Gimel Beis, also says that. When you're trying to teach something halachically, you can't start worrying about what's a cleaner language, what's a more coarse language. You have to, you have to, uh, you know, this is a lesson for all time. You have to teach it in a way that people learn it. But here, when the Torah is just reporting something, so then it's okay to use not Lashon Kitzara, but you can use the, you know, the, it's not a matter of remembering for all time that this is a halacha. It's here just saying, took this number of that animal and that number of this animals and so on. So here you can use the more, the cleaner language. Okay. Al-Chassam Sofer also has, you know, why these particular cases, a number of different people, you can look through it. But what emerges for sure from all of this, okay, whichever of the interpretations you like, okay, whichever of these interpretations it is, the Torah is teaching us a lesson here that there is value to using what's called Lashon Nekiya, clean language, when you can, as opposed to more coarse or more vulgar language. Sometimes you can't because you have to teach a lesson, or you're not you're describing something. It requires precision. Okay, but other than that, you should try and use clean or refined language. If you look in Source 15, look. And that's what I'd like to look at for the rest of this year, just what the value of that is and what that means. There is a statement by Rabbeinu Yonah in the Shari Tshuva, Shar Gimel Os Reish Lamed 15. Okay, and he quotes this Gemara. V'amar Abaseinu La'olam al yotzi adam davar megun mefiv, and he quotes this Gemara because the Torah wasted extra letters and so on, as we explained. Okay, and this is a value, and the value is, as he writes in the third line, "Behinei chayav ha'adam lihizaher shelo yotzi mipiv davar meguna." A person should be careful not to use vulgar language. Okay. Even if that means sometimes you'll have to speak a little more long-winded fashion, that's required. And he writes, "Vizek kemo geder lizar min nivlus hapeh." This is the warning we call nivul peh, again in the middle of Source 15, nivul peh, using obnoxious or vulgar language, shehi min ha'averas hachamuros. That's considered one of the most stringent averas. In general, not to speak lashon hara and not to speak ill of other people. You know, today, you know, the people speak about each other in such a nasty and such of a vulgar way, and even the side conversations have a nasty tone to them and so on. And that's exactly what the owner says we should stay away from. Okay, and as he says, even afilu begnus behemetz me'alo diber kosim. Even talking about an animal. Again, let's remember, that's where we started. That's what some of the Farshim pointed out. When we talk about an animal, we don't speak about an animal in a vulgar fashion. And then he says in the second part of 15, after the three dots in the middle, same Rabbeinu Yonah, Shari Gimel, Reish Lamed Aleph, and the Shari Tshuva, Ve'od Amar Vaseinu, Ki Chayav Adam Livchor B'Dvarav, Lashon Kavod. Always look for a more dignified way to speak and keep away from the other type of language. Bein b'divrei Torah, bein b'sichas iskei olam. Well, you're talking about something in the realm of Torah, certainly, but even when you're talking about iskei olam, ordinary worldly things, politics, whatever else, elections, you know, who knows what people are talking about, right? You should watch your language, okay? And when it comes to divrei Torah, again, as you said, there's a value to keep eating something concisely, okay? La derech Torah. But other than that, if that's not the issue, then certainly you should be careful about the language you use. There is a pasuk in Yeshaya, Parak Tes Pasuk Tes Zion 16. It says, "Al Kain Al Bachur Vlo Yismach Hashem Ves Yisom Ves Manos Aler Achim Ki Chulo Chanei Fumer Vechol Ped Dover Nevela." Okay. From this, the Gemara in the pasuk will explain in a second. The Gemara in Shabbos learns on Lamed Gimel and Aleph 17. Lamed Gimel and Aleph. Bavon nivlos pet soros rabos uxeros koshos mischachos. Okay. Through the sin of nivul pet, using foul language, all kinds of bad things happen, and there are rotten decrees against people and so on. Ubachure son Yisrael mesim, the children, to son Yisrael, but means the Jewish people, it's euphemism, right? Bachure son Yisrael mesim, Yisomim valmanos tzoakin vein onenin, you know, orphans and widows scream out and they're not answered. And Shenemar, this pasuk, right? Look what it says in 16 now. Al kein al bachur of lo yismach. Because Baruch Hu won't be happy with the youngsters and with them, and the Yisomim and the Almanos lo yirachen, and they won't get mercy. Ki kulo hanef merve chol peh dover nevala. Why? Because every mouth is speaking words of nevala, nivul peh, vulgar and coarse language, and that brings all these bad things. And the pasuk ends by saying va'od yodon etuya, because Baruch Hu's still hand is still outstretched. My va'od yodon etuya. So the Gemara gives an example in the third line of 17. This is Shabbos Lamed Gimel out of Amar Rabbi Chanan Barava. Everybody knows what happens after bride and groom. The bride goes to the chuppah, and what the bride and the groom do afterwards. Everybody knows that they, you know that that's in, they consummate the marriage, so to speak. Everyone understands what that is. But even so, you talk about it. You don't talk about it. Everybody understands. Everyone knows what the bride and groom are going to do with each other, and so on. You know, after the chuppah, but. You know, we don't talk about these things. And if someone talks about these kind of things in a vulgar way, you know, in a coarse, you know, cheap way, so then even if he has 70 good years prescribed for him, we all become bad, Rachman Latzan. And it's the Amar of Hashem, Rav Chisa, Kol Menabel Espiv, Ma'amikin Lo Gehenem. Right, they deepen his Latin Gehenna. They quote a pasuk in Mishlei, Perchav Beis Pasuk Gedal, Shuach Amuka Chizaro Zoyim Hashem Yipol Shom. Okay, and again, you can read through the Rashi. All these terrible things happen, and you know people suffer all because of Nivul Peh. And Marsha explains over there. Same Gemara appears in Ksubas Chesam and Beis. The Marsha is in Ksubas on Chesam and Beis. It says it's Mida Keneged Mida. Right, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is not going to let the youngsters rejoice, since they use nivul peh, and we know that's a problem a lot of times by young people, especially today also nivul peh and so on. So they're going to make fun and talk about what happens in the chuppah, the chasen and kal, and so on. They talk about it in a vulgar way, so Kadosh Baruch Hu won't rejoice with them. Okay, another important pasuk, Amos Parak Dalet pasuk Gimel 21, Kihine Yotza Ham Baruch Hu Magi La'Adam Ma'Secho. Okay, Kadosh Baruch Hu creates mountains and the wind, and Magid La'Adam Ma'Secho tells the person about his conversation. What does that mean? Tells people about their conversation. So the Gemara Chagiga, Hamad Bay, source 22. Rab Ila Abisolik with Dagan Be Rabbar Shelo Shameli Nuka de Bekakari. He once heard the youngster quote in this pasuk, and he says, my Ma'Secho Amarav Afilo Sicha Yisera Shabin Ishla Ishto Magid La'Adam Mishas Misa. Even language in the most private of places, the most private type of language, the language spoken to each other by a husband and wife, you know, the most intimate time, if it's a vulgar type of language, that'll be held against the person at the time of his death. Sicha Yisera, says Rashi, 23, Chagiga Hamad Beis, Divrei Schok Shalifnei Tashmish. Certain type of language, you know, when they're with each other intimately in time of having intercourse, and they speak in a vulgar way, this is something which is held against the person at the time of his death. And the Rambam brings this to Halacha. It's not stam musr, you know. I mean, it is musr, but the Rambam brings in his deis parakei alach avav. Afal pisha isha shal adam utaris lo tamid. Even though a woman, a wife, is permitted to her husband at all times, I mean, except when she's not then either, but she's permitted. Royal al tamar chacham shi yanig atzum kedusha. A tamar chacham should nevertheless behave in a manner that reflects kedusha. Velo yinabel es piv b'divrei havaya afilu ben olamino. He should not use vulgar language. Yinabel es piv, you know, to twist his mouth, so to speak, to speak even privately. Beino leveino, right? Just in the most private of moments. And Haromer Kabbalah, that's what Pasuk says in Kabbalah. Kabbalah here doesn't mean Kabbalah, Kabbalistic mysticism, it means Navi. The Pasuk in Navi quotes this Pasuk in Amos, Magi or Masecho, Amar Chacham, Afilu Sicha Kalash, when unleashed to us, Elitain or Esadin. Okay, and it appears in Shulchan Aruch too. Again, it's not just Musa, it's in the Shulchan Aruch. Ebenezer Simon Chafei Sif Beis, Below Yekal Risho, Rosh Risho, Olayanabos, Pibi Diva Havoy, and so on and so forth. Okay, so again, you see the same kind of idea. Not only that, but, you know, sometimes, of course, it is necessary to say something which is negative, especially as we said before. We already saw it in some of the Mefarshim and not Gemara Pesachim in the first part of the year. Sometimes it is necessary to say things which are more vulgar or coarse in nature. But even then, it's better to say, even to convey the idea in a positive fashion. So the Medrash in Bereishis Rabbah here in Parshas Noach, Parshas Lamed Beis, Siman Dalet 26, right, quotes the same din that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, use the extra words and so on, the extra letters in the Torah, the same idea. And it says, we see the same thing. All right. Amar Yudon Bar Rab Menashe, the first three lines are the same as the Gemara we had before, but now the third line of 26. Amar Yudon Bar Rab Menashe, Af Kishabalom Alam Simona Behema Temeya. Okay, when the Torah wants to mention, when it talks about kosher animals and non-kosher animals, not here in Parshas Noach, we're just reporting, when it actually teaches us, and therefore the Torah has to be precise when teaching us the language, you know, the language has to be as precise, and therefore, as we said earlier, as concise as possible, because that's what people remember. So the Torah is going to speak about animals. Certain animals have one of the two signs, right? Animals need two signs. They have to have two cut and have split hooves. So certain animals have one, but not the other. So in describing those animals, look what it says. All right, the pasuk says, it mentions first what it does have. All right, it doesn't say, you know, as hagomel ki lo mafris parsa, but rather ela kimale gera. First, it says that it does chew its cud, but it doesn't have split hooves. Same thing with the shofan, you know, the rabbits and the other animals and the chazir the other way around, right? It doesn't say it, that chazir doesn't chew its cud. It says first it has split hooves. You know, you always try and accent the positive first. And the same thing, the way Kadosh Baruch Hu speaks, that's a lesson to us. The Pasuk says in Tilim, Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Zayin, 27, Imros Hashem, Amoros Tahoros, right? Hashem speaks in a pure fashion. So the Medrash Ma'ikar Rabban, Parshas Emor, Parshas Chavov, Siman Aleph, says the same thing, talking about the kosher animals. It always tries to put it in a way, again, it has to say what it has to say, but you put it in, you say, it chews its cud, but it doesn't split hooves. You don't say the negative first. You try and present things in a way where you say the positive first. And we even find that in Tehillim, in the very first Pasuk in Tehillim, 29, Tehillim Perek Aleph, Pasuk Aleph, Ashrei Ha'ish, Asher Lo Halach Ba'atzos V'Shamu V'Derechatam La'on, Rosh V'Leitzim Lo Yashav. Happy is the person who doesn't follow the counsel of the wicked and doesn't stand with the sinners and so on. So the Medrash Tehillim, the Medrash Shokotam, not Pasuk, Perek Aleph, and those Gimel, the Medrash Tehillim, says the same thing over here, just like we had in the Psukim here in Parshas Noach. What's the connection? It's the same idea. Where was I? Yeah, in the middle of 30. So it says, it could have said, Orer ha'ish asher halach ba'atzos v'shoim, right? Cursed is the person who asher halach ba'atzos v'shoim, who does follow the counsel of the wicked, right? I mean the same thing. Our pasuk says, look back in 29, asher yish asher lo halach ba'atzos v'shoim, but it could have said, Orer ha'ish, right? Or cursed or unhappy is the person who does follow atzos v'shoim. Or could have said, asher yish asher halach ba'atzos tzadikim. Okay, but it says Ashra Ish Asher Lo Halach Ba'atzos V'Shoim. It says Ashra Ish first. It says in the positive, and then it goes to the negative. So it's the same kind of lesson. Now this is all very interesting. You learn it out from Psukim here in Parshas Noach, which again is not teaching us a halachic point. It's a narrative part of the Torah. It's telling us, you know, do we have this concept in any more formal kind of, you know, Isser fashion. In other words, obviously in Parshas Noach, there is neither a lo saseh, don't speak, don't use vulgar language, or an aseh, do use refined language. Or they learn it out from the fact that the Torah, when it describes in the narrative, in a narrative portion of the Torah, it describes something about the animal, you can learn it out. But is there any more direct type of limud, you know, than this? It's, you know, again, the Gemara learns it from here, but it could be that there was another pasuk which is even more direct, at least the way some learn it. Okay, there's a pasuk also in Parshas Kisetze, where it says in Perek Chav Gimel, Dvarim Perek Chav Gimel, pasuk Tezvav, it says, Ki Hashem Elokecha mishalech bekerav machanecha latzilcha, ala seis avecha lafanecha, Kadosh Baruch Hu is in your camp, you have to have a machanecha, uha machanecha kadosh, and then it says, Velo yir becha ervas dover, let Kadosh Baruch Hu not see in your midst ervas dover. Erva's dover. Now, erva is usually a word associated with illicit or inappropriate sexual conduct. Erva is simply the singular of arayos. Arayos is the plural. Right? So erva by itself means nakedness and so on, but it means, you know, it's referring generally to inappropriate sexual behavior. But it says, v'lo yira b'cha erva's dover. Erva's dover. Okay? Now, if you look at the Targum Unklus on that pasuk in 32, there in Kisetze, Dvarim Parakovkin pasuk Tezvav, it says towards the end of that line, "V'lo yischazu b'ach averas pisgam," an avera, okay, of an expression of your words. So "lo yiricha ervas dover," and not just erva, but ervas dover. And Ibn Ezra interprets in 33, "ervas dover b'maisa o dibur," right? Anything which is vulgar in your actions or even in the words, that's ervas dover. So if we interpret the pasuk that way, if we do interpret the pasuk that way, then we have actual more formulation. There it's saying, velo yir b'cha ervas dover. That's more than just the fact that the Torah used some extra letters, you know, to avoid using a more vulgar, more coarse expression. Right here it's an actual. I'm sorry? Oh,
I was going to say, no pun intended, but it's clearly a play on the words. I mean,
yes, understood, but it could have like area. It is a play on Hanami, but it's that's even as it says, Maisa O Dibur. And the truth is, it may be emerges an interesting din in the Yerushalmi. Okay, take a look in the source 34, the Yerushalmi in Maseches Trumos, Parak Aleph Halacha Dalet. This point is Halacha Lamaisa, but it reveals some things about the importance of language and importance of using cleaner language. The Talmud Yerushalmi says in 34, Omar Abba Bar Avin Chad Chosid Shol Elio Zechulato. Okay, he asked Elio Novi, I guess he ran into him from time to time. He asked him, Orum Mao Sheikra Kriyashma. Can a person, that's the subject there, they're talking about trumas, but making the bracha, can you do afroshes truma when you're not unclothed and make the bracha? So ask, can an arum, a person who's unclothed, okay, can he say kriyashma? So amar lei, velo yircha ervas dover, okay, dvar ervas dibur tani, dvar ervas dibur, okay? It says, no, you can't, okay, you can't, a person who's unclothed, okay, who's naked, can't say kriyashma because that's saying kriyashma in front of something which is, you know, certain parts of the body are naked, you know, certain organs are exposed, so that's not proper to say kriyashma. And Tani Chizka ben Likros ben Levar. Chizka says not only true about kriyashma, but other brachas, brichas amazon as well. Okay, now the Pnei Moshe there in Trumas Perak Aval Chavav 35. The Pnei Moshe Ervas Dibur, which we explained, Tani Chizka ben Levar Merach Asu Kishu Aram. As explained in the Mishnah, right, Ervas Dibur is Chena Aram Mishum Mishnah Ervas Dovar Kriba Ervas Dibur. What does Ervas Dibur mean? How does Yerushalmi understand it? Look at the end of that Pnei Moshe. Again, I didn't read to you the Mishnah, but the Pnei Moshe's comment on this Gemara that I just read in 34 says Ervas Dibur can appreciate Masnisin, as I explained in the Mishnah. So I printed what he wrote in the Mishnah. What it means is, right, when you're speaking, you know, things like kriyashma, shouldn't be seen erva. Now, if that's the interpretation of Gemara, then the pasuk really would have nothing to do with our discussion about using coarse language. Lo yirbecha erva is dover. Come back to Yerucham. You said it's a play on language. You're right. According to this interpretation, Yerushalmi, the pasuk lo yirbecha erva is dover has nothing to do with using vulgar language. It's when you're saying kriyashma, you shouldn't have when you're speaking. Well, mitzvah, it's done through speaking. Kriyashma, brachas, birchas hamazon. So then you shouldn't have erva exposed. Okay, that would not relate to our discussion. Okay,
that's the halacha also in the Gemara when it talks about kriyashma in general.
And achanami, that's going here. Yeah, achanami, and correct. And that would not have any bearing if we interpret it that way on our discussion. However, correct. the Ritbaz was a commentary on the. I'm sorry. Yeah.
No,
so again, we accept that interpretation, and this pasuk had nothing to do. Cannot be used. As anything to do with our discussion about vulgar language. You're talking about, you're not using vulgar language, you're saying kriyashma, you're saying words of Torah, right? But you're saying in a manner that's unclean, so to speak, because of the way you're dressed, or in this case, undressed. But the Ritvaz points out in his commentary then, Truman's Parak Aleph Halacha 36, he has that not everyone has the same text, okay? And you look in the brackets there, he says, Tevas Orem Mocha Kagro. Though we have it, the question, look back on 34, the question that was posed to Eliyahu HaNavi was, Arum Ma'u Sheyikra Shema. A person unclothed, naked. But the Grod, and the Ritvaz lived in the early 20th century, the Ritvaz points out, it's not the Radvaz on the Rambam with the truth, this is the Ritvaz. Yaakov David Volovsky wrote a parish on the Yerushalmi. He was a Rav, actually, he was in Chicago for a while, ended up in Tzfat. Okay, interesting character. We've referred to him in the past. He was known as the Slutsker Rav. Okay, he was in Chicago and actually an American. He tried to clean up the kashrus, which was a mess in the late 19th and early 20th century. Kashrus was not, you know, it was a business. The mob got involved, you know. So according to the story, anyway, the Ritbaz, when he was a Rav in Chicago, tried to straighten out the kashrus, and the powers that be, they had a hit out on him. They put a hit out on him because he was, you know, taking away some of the corruption and so on and so forth. Chicago, you know, was always known for that, at least in those days. So he had a runaway rant to Israel. Anyway, he was a Rav in Tzfat for a while. So the parish of Shalmi and Chuvah's base, Ritbaz. Anyhow, so the Ritbaz says that the Gra erased the word Arum, and therefore the question was not talking about an Arum at all. Okay, it was talking about what was done, it was before, namely about a shikr. Okay, I printed the Bir Agro. The Bir Agro in Or HaChaim Siman Tzadi Tes and Sifal Adimasu Oval. He says, look at 37. Aval Nirash Tov Sofer Shom Birushalmi. Dam Rusham quotes Arum. The word Arum doesn't belong. Okay, it's not correct. It's not talking about an Urim. And he gives raya's why that's true, and it's not for us right now. Look at the last line. Oh, Shatzarach Loma Shatos over. Shatzarach Loma Shikr. It's talking about, which with the Gemara before, was talking about a drunkard. Can a drunkard say Kriyashma? Not a person unclothed. Okay, the previous topic was about a Shikr. Our text has now they moved on to talking about an Urim, but the Vilna Gaon said no. The Vilna Gaon said this is still talking about the Shikr. Same thing in his parish on the Mishnah, there in Truman's Parak Aleph Mishnah Vav, the Shnos Elio. Okay, and that's his parish on the Mishnah. And he has also that the proper the question there was about a shikr. And the question was, because of his drunkenness, can he say Kriya Shema? Now that already will have bearing on our discussion. Because when a person's drunk and he talks in a manner, even perhaps when he's saying Kriya Shema, his speech is garbled and he's mixed up in what he says. Then, now he applied the pasuk of Lo Yircha Ervas Dover. Look at the second line of 38 in the Shnos Elio. He says, his very words are inappropriate or vulgar. Even when the words he's using are the words of Kriyashma, but because he's drunk, he's in that condition, and he's not aware of what he's saying, he's not saying things clearly or properly, then that's already a form of vulgar dibur. Okay, so there now, if you take that interpretation of the Shalom, the Gra understands, and the Ravaz thought it was right, and the truth is, we shown him already have like that. I printed 39 in the Chiddush Ramban on the Bavli in Brachas Chav Beis and Mabeis. Quotes Matzasi Yerushalmi, and he also has that the topic there was a shikar and not an Urim. Same thing in the Mordechai in Erevin in Remes Tuf Kuf Yud Beis 40 Parakador also quotes the whole Yerushalmi, and it's talking there not about an Urim but about a shikar. And the idea is that Ervas Dibur is when your speech is inappropriate. When a person says Kriya Shema drunk, his speech is inappropriate. So now we can say that so too. When you're not saying Kriya Shema, and you may not be drunk, but your speech is inappropriate, that's a violation of L'Yiru Chayavas Dover. You follow this whole convoluted...
You know, it makes sense also, Rabbi, it makes sense also, you can tie it into Chana if you want to. Like,
whether he thought she was drunk, you mean?
When he thought she was drunk because her words were not coming out garbage.
Right. That'd be very
good. I just thought of that. I think it's a nice
it's parallel. Very good point. That's why it's inappropriate. Because, right. And she was in the Beis HaMikdash yet, right? Or the Mishkan. But the point being that this whole line of reasoning based on the Yerushalmi and Trumas, if you learn it's talking about someone who's unclothed, it's nothing to do with us. Okay, but if you're talking about someone who's drunk and we're saying that words which are inappropriately said are considered a violation of Lo Yircha Ervas Dover, so it's not a leap to say that when you say not words of Kriyashma or not words of Bracha, but words which themselves are vulgar or coarse in nature, that's also a violation of Lo Yircha Ervas Dover. As a matter of fact, the Sefer Charedim, 41, the Sefer Charedim, Rav Elazar Azkari, is one of the early Achronim, wrote a Sefer HaMitzvos. Okay, and his Tlosa said Perik Dalav in this arrangement, the Os Mem Tes, and some is Perik Chav Dalav, it's Os Mem Tes. Basically, he has an interesting Sefer HaMitzvos. He arranges all the mitzvahs based upon the part of the body that you use to do the mitzvahs. So these mitzvahs are done with the arm, and those mitzvahs are done with your legs, and this mitzvah is done with your head. Anyway, he has mitzvahs that are done with your mouth, right? So in mitzvahs losa, I say over there, he says in 41, Azharas Nivl Sapeh, there's a warning against Nivl Peh, okay? And he quotes the Pasuk as the Mokar, Valericha Ervas Dover, right? And he says, this is Ervas Dover, it's Dibur Nevela, the words of Nivl and so on. So he quotes this Pasuk in his Sefer HaMitzvahs as actually formulating a mitzvah. So it's not just a pasuk here in Parshas Noach that it says Lot Asher Enana Tahora rather than Temeah, but in the formulation of a mitzvah. And it's interesting, this idea makes it into the Shulchan Aruch, albeit very indirectly. Simon Kuf Nun Vav of Orach Chaim, at the end of Hilchos Beis HaKnesses. So you look in the, pick up any standard edition of the Shulchan Aruch and look at Simon Kuf Nun Vav. You'll see both in the Mishnah Berurah and the Magen Avraham, earlier than the Mishnah Berurah, long commentary. The whole page in the Shulchan Aruch taken up by the Magen Avraham. And it's a long Mishnah Berurah. What is he doing there? He decides to put in there all of the dinim that are mentioned as halachas and dolmah that don't fit anywhere else in the Shulchan Aruch. It's like a catch-all. Okay, so the Mishnah Berurah writes, we'll come back to Magen Avraham, but look at the Mishnah Berurah. It's Simon Kuf Nun Vav in Sivkot and Dalet, Bemuna. V'hine yesh kama tidirios, there's some common mitzvahs, esin v'lavin, shemutalos ala adam lasos ulizar bahen, which a person is to do or be careful not to do, b'chol eis at all time, v'einan muvos ba Shulchan Aruch, they don't fit into any category in the Shulchan Aruch. And the Magen Avraham mentioned some of the base in the Rambam, so I'm going to throw some of that out here too. And among them are, in the third line, Ayotzi Adam Davar Magun Mefiv. There's no actual place in the Shulchan Aruch where this fits in, but the Mishnah Berurah says it belongs. I'm putting it here in this catch-all simon. Okay? And it says, furthermore, it says, Goren Yuma, Daf Yutes, Asach Sichas Chulin. Even if you have idle chatter, okay, Pirish Davar Gnai, Vikalus Rosh, right, inappropriately foolish and so on. That's also a violation of Martavi the Bar Tobam. The Pasuk says by Kriyashma, right, in Voschanan, Dvar and Paragraph Pasuk Zion 43, Vishanatha Manachavi the Bar Tobam. Okay, what do we have Bar Tobam? Say these words, words of Torah. Okay, other words you shouldn't say. The Pasuk says in Koheles that we just read on Shmini Atzeres, right? Parak Aleph, Pasuk Ches, Kolodrami game, Lo Yuchal Ish Ledaber. So the Gemara in Yuma, Yud Tesan Bey says, 45, Amar Rava, Soch Sichas Chun, Over Basay. You violate this cessation. Remember, the bar to bum bum below the dvar macherim. And Rachel Yaakov, it's even a lav. It's not a lav in the Torah. It's a lav in Navi. Okay, in Navi it says Rachel Yaakov over a lav. Shenemar kolad rami loichelish ladaber. Okay, what does the bar to bum mean? Bum means words of the very Torah, not other things which are inappropriate. Or doesn't mean you can never talk about anything else but the very Torah. But it means that you should. You should be careful not to use, not to use certain types of language and so on, as we've been discussing. Okay, now, the Kodesh Baruch Hu bears in mind. You know, if you take a look, there's another Gemara, an interesting Gemara in Bava Kamma. Okay, and this will lead us into the final interesting, I think, discussion on this topic. Okay, there's a pasuk in the beginning. You look in the psukim in Devarim. Parak Beis, when it comes to Bnei Yisrael, they're about to enter into Yisrael, they want to pass through the lands of Ammon and Moab, right? And Ammon and Moab don't let them pass through. They have to take a circuitous route and walk around, right? If you remember. So Parak Beis, Pasuk Tes, it says about Moab, I'll tatzar es Moab, I'll tiskar bom milchama. Don't start up with them any war. Don't make it, because you're not going to get in their land. Anyway, it's given to the descendants of Lot. Kibne Lot Nasati, right? And then later, I thought that's in Pasuk Tes of Perek Beis. In Pasuk Yud Zayin, by the Rosh Hashanah Lamor, Yuches Atam Remos Moav is Ar. Now you're passing by Moav. It says Yud Tes the Karv Talmud Bnei Amon Al Tetzurim Al Tiskar Bom. Don't start up with them either, because you're not getting any Lear land. That's also descendants of Lot. Amon and Moav both from Lot. So Rashi there in the Pasuk and Dvar and Perek Beis Pasuk Tes points out that if you look carefully, there's a slight difference between what's said to Amon said about Moav and said about Amon. About Moav, it says Al Tiskar Bom Milchama. And about Amoav, it's an Amon rather, it says just Al Tiskar Bom, period. So it says, you can badger them a little. It sounds like Moav, you shouldn't, badger them to the point of going to war, but you can give them a hard time, so to speak. But Amon, not at all. What's the chiluk? What's the chiluk? Because Bishchar Tznius Imam Shalom Pirsam Al Avia Kamosh Ostab Chir Shakar Hashem Ben Amoav. What's this about over here? It's based on a Gemara in Bava Kamma Lamed Chesam Beis 49. If you remember correctly, where do Amon and Moav come from? So we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we'll read about it in the Seder in 2 weeks in Vayera, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroys Sodom and Amorah and the surrounding cities, and Lot is taken out, or he's rescued, and he goes with his two daughters to a cave somewhere nearby. And when they wake up the next morning, they think the whole world's been created. They think there was another Mabul. They thought this Mabul wasn't enough. This was another Mabul-like occurrence, because Baruch Hu wiped out the whole world. Instead of saving Lot and his family in an ark, he saved the husband, the man and his two daughters in a cave. And they thought that the whole world's been destroyed. They thought to themselves, how are we going to continue to populate the world? Right? There are no men around them. We're the only people. They thought they're the only people alive. Didn't realize it was just in that area that was destroyed. And, a couple miles away, there are lots of people living and breathing normally. They didn't realize that. So the Shem Shamayim, they decided we're going to have to become impregnated by our father. So they got him drunk, and each one slept with him, right? And they each became pregnant. Okay, so this is the story of Parshas Vayera. So the older one had the baby first. She called her child Moav. Me'av, from the father, as if to hint that she became pregnant with her father. The younger one was a more tzenua, was more modest, so she had to call him Amon, whatever, for my nation, Benami, my nation, so to speak. So the Gemara in Baba Kama says, Amon Chesam Beis, in 49, Amor B'chia, Bar Abba, Merchon, Erochon, Ena Chodesh Baruch Hu, Mekapech, Schar Kol Be'er, Chodesh Baruch Hu gives everything its proper reward. Afilu Schar Sicha Noah, even if it's just a schar for pleasant, proper talk. Okay, the older girl said Moav, and so Chodesh Baruch Hu said, don't start up a war. Milchama hu dolo. Ha, anagaria avibe. You can, you can get them to bring you stuff and other things. You can subjugate them in some ways, just not start a war. But the younger ones, who are called Ben Ami, Amon, okay, then it says don't start up with them at all. Okay, so that's the Gemara Bava Kamma. Even a simple thing like that, okay, was one was more coarse and one was less coarse. So Kadosh Baruch Hu remembered that years later regarding the descendants. Okay, so what I want to come to now in 51, a very interesting comment in the Yamshul Shlomo. Yamshul Shlomo, Luria the Marshal, and that Gemara Bava Kamma, Perek Dalet, it's Siman Yud Aleph in his Sefer. And he quotes this whole Gemara. And then he mentions, based on this also, that Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to be exacting on someone who doesn't speak Belashon Yafa. Look at the fourth line of 51. Okay, va'od yoser shafil ala mutter lomar medakta Kadosh Baruch Hu misha'ena motzi Belashon Yafa. What she said wasn't wrong, but it wasn't, it was a little immodest, it was vulgar. So even when something may be true, okay, and it may be it may be correct, but still, you're supposed to speak in nice language. And we're supposed to learn from our Kadosh Baruch Hu, that's what he did here in the Pasuk and Parshas Noach, as we mentioned. And then he says at the very end, okay, and that's, even though sometimes the Torah does use the word Temeah, but here it's to teach us this lesson. Very nice. Look what the Marshal says at the very end. He said, "Umishum hachi." This is the reason. Kibalti min arishonim. I have a tradition from the earlier authorities. Shenizharim shelo lomar b'talmud beitzim ela beim v'chein kol ki haygavna. You ever hear? You know, in the yeshiva they're learning maseches beitza. They say beya. Right? You probably come across it. They're learning maseches beya. What do you mean beya? It's called beitza. There's a tzadi there. No, you look at the first mission. It says beitza shelo b'yantim. So some people refer to it as maseches beya, and when they refer to it, they call it beya, which is an Aramaic word for egg. Okay, they don't say beitzim, they say beim, and in Aramaic rather than Hebrew. Why? What is that? I mean, again, I remember still the first time when I was a little boy, we went out to Israel. My family went for the first time. I think it was 1968. It was the year after the war, the Six-Day War. So we went. I was 9 years old. So I was in we stayed by my aunt, an aunt of my mother's, who lived in Bayit Began, with the family. We went there for the summer. So I was in a kaitana, you know, day camp there in Bayit Began. I think I was probably the only kid who wasn't from a Yiddish home. But anyway, a Yiddish speaking, I mean, I'm not a Jewish home, I am, but not a Yiddish speaking home. But anyway, so I was in this day camp. We were learning, little kids, you know, that we had learning at the beginning, and we're learning Mishnayos, Masechet Beitza. I don't remember too much about what we learned, that's for sure. But I remember going with my aunt to the Sfarim store there on Rehov Pisgan, Bayit Vegan, little Sfarim store, to buy Masechet. She asked the guy behind the counter, we need a Mishnayos, a paperback Mishnayos, Masechet Beya. I didn't know. I said, not Beitza. So she's nodded and smiled. And he gave it to me. So I never asked. I always wondered. And years later, a lot of people refer to it as Maseches Beya. What's it about? It's based on this Yamshul Shlomo. Said he got it from earlier. So what's the idea? Because Beitzim are sometimes used to refer to the male organ, the male testicles and so on. So it's a can be interpreted in a more vulgar fashion. So therefore, we avoid the word altogether. We say it in Aramaic. And this makes it into the Magen Avraham. That Magen Avraham, in Siman Kuf Nun Vav, the same place that Mishnah Berurah had that long, the Magen Avraham had a long, long commentary in Sukkot and Beis. He writes, "Al yotzi davar meguna mefiv, lachein lo yomar b'talmud beitzim ela beim." And he also mentions about Sach Sichas Kulin and so on. So according to this approach, even I'm using the word in to describe him as Sichta in the Gemara. But still, you should do it in such a way that it's a cleaner type of language. Now, the Taz, in your, because not everybody's does that. I myself say Beitza, not Beya, but a lot of people say Beya in some yeshivas. And he says the Taz in Siman Kuf Chav Dalet in Yoridea, in Sivkot Nalev, the Taz writes, he says that's because he talks about Rabbos Piv, but he says it says the word Piv twice. The Parakamadik Subas, and it's also the Gemara we had in Shabbos, Kolman Abbas Piv, most Dovin of all and Piv. Why does it say me Piv twice? That it's only a problem when you're doing it to be vulgar. But if you're not doing it to be vulgar, it's not a problem. So that's a kula, so to speak, from the Taz. If you're using the language in a way that, you know, it's okay to say Beitza, you're referring to the Masechta and the Talmud, or the egg that was laid on Yontif and Zmukta and so on, which is the topic over there, then it's not a problem. So it's interesting, but why then, and perhaps there's a whole different reason altogether why people say Beya and not Beitza, nothing to do with this language issue. There's a Gemara in Sanhedrin, Hayamid Beis, which says the following. It says, in order to paskan a shalah, you have to have what's called a hetara. You have to have a permit, you know, to be paskan a smicha, right? So it says, what's the reason? Because the Gemara tells a story. Why do you have to have a special rod? Pam achas holach Rabbi lemakom echad. Rabbi once went to a certain place, and they were kneading their dough, and the people were tamei. Now, quick background information. In order for grain to become tamei, it has to first become what's called huk mukshar lekabel tuma. It has to have a hechsher lekabel tuma. It has to come into contact with water after it's been detached from the ground. That's the rule. At the end of Parsha Shmini. Okay, kiyutan mayim alzer. It has to be hechsher lekabel tuma. So they were doing it, and it was tamei. So the Rebbe asked him, "What's going on?" He said, "Well, we were told by a Talmud Chacham that may bitzayin ain machshirin, that something which came wet or the liquid got on it was may bitzayim. May bitzayim is not a problem." Rebbe realized, not may bitzayim, may beitzim. Okay, if the dough or the plant becomes wet through the liquid of an egg, that's not machshir, but they thought it was made bitsoim. Look in Rashi in 55, maybe bitsoim agam. That's a lake water, water from a stream or a brook. They thought, oh, that doesn't make something else become tummy. Okay, and it's not true. That does make something else become tummy. The Mishnah Machshir in Paragraph Pasuk Dal, Mishnah Dal 56 says there are seven things which make seven types of mashkin which make something else become tummy, and they are tal, mayim, yayin, shemen, dam, chalav, dvash, and dvash devarim. Right. Tal is dew, mayim is water. I have to figure out what the difference is, but not for now. Wine, oil, blood, milk, and honey. Honey from vash, from bees, not honey from dates. Okay? And the Rambam Paskin this way. Chasum Zolchan Perak Aleph Alach HaBeis. If you want to remember it, some people remember the mnemonic Yad Shochat Dam. Yad Yud Dalet, that's Yayin and Dam. Shochat is Shin Ches Tes, Shemen Cholov, and Tal and Dam is Dvash and Mayim. Okay, it helps you remember it. I don't know, does not remember it. You know, I found that easy way to remember the seven. They're all the seven holidays. We're all connected to these seven things. Rosh Hashanah is honey, right? We have honey Rosh Hashanah. Yom Kippur is Dam. You're playing for your life. You're paying for your life for this. It's because of Dam of the Korbanos and so on. Is Mechaper. So Sukkot is water, right? Because we're Mispala for water. And the Hanukkah is oil, right? And Purim is Yayin, for obvious reasons. Pesach is a stretch. Pesach is Tal. We say Tefillah is Tal and Pesach. And Shavuos is milk. The milk and Shavuos. Okay, that helps you remember it fine. Anyway, but obviously, made Bitzoyim, water from a brook, certainly is Machshir Lekabel Tuma. But they heard wrong. They thought, or they understood, they misunderstood him, or he said it wrong. Okay, he said made Beitzim is what he meant. Yeah, the what do you call it? The albumin inside the liquidy part of the egg, you know, not the yolk, the other part, the liquidy part. That's not water. It's not only one of the seven. That's not Machshir Lekabel Tuma. Okay, and Tosis says there in Sanhedrin Hamad Beis in 58, Hadda makes such a mistake again because he said the word beats him, and so anyway, that was a mix up based on a pasuk in Eov, which I printed here. In any event, the Teferis Yisrael, the pasuk here is Parakhes Pasuk Yud Aleph, and it's also talking about these beats of this type of liquid. Anyway. Based on this, that the Teferis Yisrael, Yochan Oboz, is a Hagdama to Maseches Beitza, he writes, 61, HaMaseches HaZos Karu HaChonim Beya. Some HaChonim call this Beya. Okay, even though it begins with the word Beitza, and he doesn't understand why they switched it, and he quotes the Magen Avraham, the name of the Marshal, it's because of this, it's Lashon Nekiya, but he doesn't like that too much. Okay, he said, doesn't make any sense. You're going to switch to Aramaic. Aramaic is an inferior language to Hebrew. Beitza is in Lashon HaKodesh. Okay, Bey is Aramaic. You're going to use a word in Aramaic instead of a word in the Hebrew. Aramaic's a secondary language. Okay, the Malach HaShoreh, the Gemara says in Shabbos, you'd Beis and Beis. It says you're not supposed to daven in Aramaic unless you're with a Tzibur because the Malachim don't understand Aramaic. It's an inferior language, okay, so to speak. Right, that's how that the Tosas says, right? They don't know. And Shulchan Aruch Paskin this way, by the way, a private person should not ask in request Aramaic. Look in Hilchos Tefillah and Aruch Chaim from Kuf Aleph Siv Dalet. So anyway, the Pharisee Yisrael says you're going to say something in Aramaic rather than Hebrew because of Lashon Nekiya. That's Lashon Nekiya. You're using a lower language. Not only that, but you're taking out a tzaddi, which the Gemara says represents tzaddik and so on. And I don't understand this whole thing because that's Lashon. And therefore, the Teferis Yisrael said, no, that's not why. It's because of the mix-up of Beitzim and Bitzoyim. That's why we say Beya. He said, that's the reason why. It's got nothing to do with this Lashon Nekiya business. Okay, that's the idea. And it says the Malachim don't understand Aramaic because both the Taz and Siman Kuf Aleph, Sukkot and Hey, the Mishabur there in Sukkot and Yuchas, they say it's a Maguna, it's a language that's somewhat Maguna. So that being the case, it would hard press to say that it's because of Lashon Nekiya. Nonetheless, and the further proof, by the way, that Aramaic is a secondary language, an inferior language, is the Gemara in Shabbos, and Lamed Beis and Aleph, that says there were certain people who would use, instead of an Aron Kodesh, they would say Arana. Arana, which means an ark. Okay, but they wouldn't say Arana Kodesh, usually the Aramaics. Again, it's an inferior language. So it's very hard to imagine that the reason behind changing Beitza to Beya is because of Lashon Naki. After all, the bottom line is the word Beitza appears in the Torah, and we don't change it when it's there. And if you're going to tell me, well, we don't change any words, that's not true. Take a look in Source 69, the Pesukim in the Tochel on Parshat Kisavo, Perek Chof Ches, Pasuk Chof Zayin. It says, Yakka Hashem B'shchin Mitzrayim, and the word there, Beis, Vav Beis Ayin Pei Lamed Yud Mem, Bafalim, is not the way we read it. We read about Chorim. We read it differently. Okay, we change them in. That means hemorrhoids. Okay, but that's not a, they'll be punished with hemorrhoids and that disease in that part of the body. Very uncomfortable. So use a different word, which is less offensive. Or a few psukim later in Pasuk Lamed, it says you'll become betrothed to a woman, Isha Tres, Vish Acher. It says Yish Galena, but read Yish Kavena. We tone it down a little bit, right? We tone it down a little bit. And that's based on a Gemara Megillah, Chaf Hem Bey. It says, Kolam Ikrosak Tanar Bonan, 70, Kolam Ikrosak Tzum Metar Lignai, Karnos on Shrach. We try and read it in a more positive way. And we don't do that for the word Beitza. When it says, by that a few weeks ago, we talk about Shaluch HaKan, right, by Pasha Kitetze. It says, Efrochim HaBeitzim. We don't change the word Beitzim over there. It's a perfectly good word in the Torah. Okay, Yishgalenu and Bafolim. You look in the Rashi and Megillah Chav Hayim Beis 71. It says again, the Torah uses stronger language. It is after all the Tokacha, but it says it. We read it in a calmer kind of way. Okay, we change it because as the Marsha says there in the Chiddush Agadas Megillah Chav Hayim Beis 72, Tam Lachol Elushina Christmas from the Ginayu Lahotzi Dav Megunim Epiv. Okay, you're not right. So we borrow another word and use it. Okay, and it's very fat, but we don't want to use the strong language. But we don't do that with Beitzim. But Agav Orcha, we learn from here again, when something was strongly offensive, we try and tone it down. And it's very interesting. There's a fascinating Rambam in the Mora Nevuchim Chelek Gimel Perek Ches 73. You know, why do we call our language Lashon HaKodesh? What's holy about Hebrew? Lashon HaKodesh. Why is it called Lashon HaKodesh? Right? He says, don't think that that's nothing. It's the truth. Because there are no words in Hebrew for the sexual organs or for actually active intercourse and zera and all these things. All these types of things that have to do with the Torah borrows words. We say, don't sleep with somebody, right? That's sleep. We use it in English also, but it's based on the Bible, right? The Torah. Two people sleep together. They're not sleeping together. Okay, they're doing more than sleeping. Okay, right. So we use the word lishkav, right? Many times, all the arai says hashochev b'meishes ishashochev dishochev or shayishkav. All these, it just means lying with them. We borrow words from elsewhere in a euphemistic fashion, right? So that the Rambam says that's why it's called lashon kodesh, because it's a holy tongue, doesn't even have words for certain types of activities. I'm not talking about modern Hebrew now. I'm talking about the Lashon HaKodesh, biblical Hebrew, right? That's why it's called Lashon HaKodesh, because it's sanctified language. It doesn't have these words. We borrow other terms. So in terms of Beitzim, well, again, maybe that's the reason. That's what Marshal says, and it has to be reckoned with, although the Shari Tshuva in 74, this is the Shari Tshuva on the page of Shulchan Aruch, not the Shari Tshuva of the Rebbe Yonah. In that same Sim, Kuflun Beis, Yukot and Beis, he quotes the Yom Shul Shoma, but he says it doesn't help because in that, and the word Beim today has the same connotation, whatever connotation Beitzim has for male organs and so on, the Tshuva of Beim too doesn't help anyway. So bottom line is, should you say Beitz or Beya? So probably you should follow whatever tradition you have. That's what there's a mission, Adius, Perak Aleph, Mishnah Gimel. We don't have time to go into it now. But Hillel used a certain expression, and both the Bartanur and the Tavarishel discuss it there at length. It's interesting to look at if you have some time in Perak Aleph, Mishnah Gimel. Hillel learned from the previous Gedolei Hador, Shmaya and Avtalion. Now, Shmaya and Avtalion are both Gerim. And they came from different backgrounds, couldn't say certain letters, couldn't say certain words or certain consonants, rather. They couldn't pronounce them. Like many people say, can't say the ches. They say, you hear people say that it's Hanukkah, happy Hanukkah, right? They can't say a ch sound. I never quite understood it. Everyone seems to be able to say yich, or yach. But okay, but somehow, some language in English, there's no ches sound, right? There's no ches. As people say, have a happy Hanukkah, it's Rosh Chodesh. I mean, Bali Tshuva talk like that. So anyway, Hillel used the language the way that the Pharisee says it, no, Yud Ches, Yud Tes Chof, and the Bar Tanur said, Hillel used it, he said it over in the language of his teacher, he could say it. He said it over the way his Rebbe said it. Okay, so maybe if you learn in yeshiva where they always said Beya, so you say Beya also, but it's not necessarily because of Lashon Nekiya. I just concluded with some things about the power of speech. The very definition of a human being, of a human, as opposed to other members of the world of creation, is the fact that a human being can speak. And that's from last week's said, the Bereishis Perek Beis Pasuk Zayin. It says, Vayitzar Hashem Elokim es Adam, right? Vayhi Adam lenefesh chaya. Man became a breathing, living creature. The Targum Unklus on Nefesh Chaya says, look at the last words of 79, Perek Beis Pasuk Vav, Vahavas Ba'adam leruach memalala, a spirit that speaks. Human being is defined as that which speaks, a medaber. There are four categories, right? There's this domain, which is like rocks and dirt, you know, things that, that's one part of creation. There's tzomeach, things that grow out of the ground, right? They change. They grow, flowers, trees, grass, and so on. Then there's chai, things which are alive, animals and birds and so on. And then human beings. The only human beings, the only creature with the capacity to speak. I mean, I know certain animals can communicate and everything else, but in terms of the advanced power of speech, only human beings have that. Right, that's what defines us. And therefore, the Rambam in that same piece in the morning of Uchim Chela Gimel Perek Ches says that's why it's such a terrible issue of Nivul Peh, because you're being menavil, you're defiling the very power or the very characteristic that makes a human being to a human being above the animal kingdom. You're taking your power of speech and destroying it. And Ronis Hamar says the same thing in Perek Ches in the entry in Lashon Hara. It says, menavil is people, Godol Avono. Okay, because it lacks shame, it lacks sneers. Okay, and Jewish people, which we are known to supposedly to be tzanua and so on and so forth, it's not proper for us to speak that way. And he says the same language, the same mouth that speaks divrei shevach and tefillah and dabe divrei Torah, the last words of 81, heich yitro v'adam l'shon v'amar pibin v'vil asapel, v'amar b'shen ha'magulim. How can the same mouth that says kriyashma and davin and says brochas and learns and so on and so forth, Come out of mouth, nivel peh. So this is the idea, exactly where we learn it from, somewhat of a question. Again, the Gemara does learn it from the Pesukim here in Parshas Noah. Maybe it's even, as the Haredim says, rooted in a Pasuk, and certainly it's proper to use a more dignified language. Questionable whether what the Marshal says, that some people call it Be'ah instead of Beitza, that's the reason. I don't know, that may or may not be the reason. It's first of all, others reject that. Nonetheless, a person should certainly make every effort. You say whatever you call it, Be'ah, that's fine. My Rebbeim was called a Beitza, and that's what I refer to it, but because probably not, like the Amshul Shulman said, that it's a Lashon Nekia issue. But in any event, say what your Rebbe said, but certainly a person should be careful to use Lashon Nekia. Okay, we'll stop over here.